The concept of shared services makes some folks inside federal agencies a little queasy. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says budget cuts are forcing the Pentagon to consider things they wouldn't have done before, and other agencies are doing the same. Shared services may help to reduce the $4 billion that the government spends on human resources and the equal employment opportunity workforce. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International and former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Department of Homeland Security, writing about why you shouldn't be scared of shared services on his Chief HRO blog. Jeff, it's always great to have you on the program. You can at least, you outline the case for this, but you can understand why shared services, the idea at least, makes people a little bit queasy sometimes, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the idea of taking something and consolidating it into a shared service center of some sort, a lot of people don't like the idea. They look at it and say, wow, maybe I'm not getting very good service now, and if you do this, it'll get worse. When in reality, in many cases, the service actually gets better.
One of the arguments that we hear a lot, not just about HR management or anything, but of shared services more broadly, is that, well, my agency is really different, and, you know, in the case of some HR things, we pay people differently here, and we have different categories. That's one of the big reasons that people give why shared services won't work for me. Is that legitimate, or are there ways around that, Jeff?
It's, for the most part, not legitimate. One of the things that I hear over and over and over again, and I heard for 33 years in government, is we're different, we're unique, we're special. And within, you'll hear agencies say that in reference to other agencies, but inside an agency, you'll hear exactly the same argument. You know, in DOD, you'll have one command in the Navy saying, well, we're different from the command down the street. And if you look at something like HR, for the most part, the rules are the same for most federal employees. And even when there are some differences, it's not like differences that are so radical that you need a completely different skill set to provide support to them. You know, if you're going to advertise jobs, it doesn't matter whether you're advertising them through one pay plan or another. You still have to advertise a job. You still have to do some sort of job analysis. You still have to write a vacancy announcement. So a lot of the things that you do in HR and in procurement and in financial management and in many other services are really basically the same. And so the uniqueness, if that's a word, is really more of an illusion than a reality.
You get at a concept in this piece, Jeff, that you and I have talked about, not in this particular area before, but more broadly. And it transcends HR, and it transcends the federal government, and it transcends people's work lives. It is a mindset, and it is tremendously difficult to change, and that is fear. I know that you know what you're asking, but you're asking people to get over a fear that is very difficult to turn around.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the reason I titled my blog post, Fear Not. You know, when you look at what people are afraid of, they're afraid that they will lose control. They're afraid they will lose their influence over things. They're afraid, in some cases, they'll fail. They're afraid that they'll get service that's worse than what they were getting before, and maybe they weren't happy with what they were getting before. So that fear is really important, but it's something you have to overcome. If we as a government can't overcome the fear of these types of things to try to consolidate overhead functions, and I don't mean that as a pejorative term. Overhead functions are good things that people have to have. If we can't overcome that fear to consolidate those types of functions, how do we ever get to the point of consolidating overlapping agency responsibilities and actually consolidating mission work? So overcoming that fear is incredibly important.
It can be done. You make a terrific point, and it's the whole issue that the Pentagon is dealing with when it comes to overhead, that You can make, especially at DOD, and I think so at every federal agency, the case that if you don't do this, you take money from what's going on, you know, whatever the mission of the agency is, the execution of the mission. And yet there is this tremendous resistance that, I mean, really, the response to the argument that I just outlined would have to be, I'm so afraid of change that I don't care that the money is coming out of the mission. I mean, am I on track there?
You are. And what's really interesting about that is when you look at what that means, it means I'm so afraid of choosing this change that I'm going to just react however I can as my budget gets cut, and I'll let whatever change comes happen to me. And so instead of being willing to step out and choose the change, people are willing to let it happen to them and take whatever comes. And that's kind of interesting because you would think you'd be more afraid of that. I'm less afraid of the things I can control than the things that just happen to me. But people are willing sometimes to just take that money out of the mission. Or in many cases, you know, let's say you have the situation that DLA used to have, the Defense Logistics Agency, when I was there, where we had 7 HR offices and we really could get by with 2. What ended up happening isn't that we were taking money out of the mission necessarily. We were taking money out of being able to perform the HR work. You know, we didn't have a lot of money floating around, and so they just gutted the HR budget. So there was no program money left. There was just enough money to pay salaries. And when you look at those salaries, you end up looking at a lot of redundant management structures. When I had 7 personnel offices in DLA, I had 7 personnel officers. I had 7 heads of staffing. I had 7 heads of classification. I had 7 heads of labor and employee relations. I had 7 IT staffs. So I had 7 of everything. And when you have 7 of everything, you've got to have more cost than when you have 1 or 2 larger organizations. So you can get get the overhead out of the overhead by consolidation. And you can cut the cost that way.
Jeff Neal of ICF International is host of the Chief HRO blog, chiefhro.com, and we have a link to what he's writing about shared services at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Here's the line in your post that really just cut me to the core. In fact, many affected managers, field commanders, and senior executives, you're writing about the effort at DLA, were vehemently right. opposed to this plan. One SESer referred to it as, quote, the most brutal proposal I've ever seen. Another said, and this is the one that just made me nuts, Jeff. Another said he would rather have bad service he controlled than good service someone else controlled. That's a microcosm of what the average citizen walking down the street thinks is wrong with the federal government.
Oh, and believe me, when that guy said that to me, I just about went through the ceiling. I was so angry.
Good for you.
The folks who were saying these things, it was just amazing. I mean, some people were just admitting, you know, hey, I want to be in control, and it doesn't matter if it's better, it's not mine. And that demand for control rather than demand for buying good service is a problem, and unless we can get rid of that kind of attitude, any kind of real reform in government, whether it's shared service centers or reforming the civil service system itself, none of this stuff is going to be possible with that kind of attitude. And luckily, that's not a common attitude. You don't see a lot of people saying that. In this particular case, the person saying that was one of the most senior people in the agency, and I had to overcome that resistance. But I could see why you would be, why you would just really be infuriated by that kind of attitude. I know I certainly was.
So the good news, I think, Jeff, is that with the budgets the way they're going, and with the cost reduction pressures that every agency feels, this is where the word opportunity comes up when it comes to these situations. And I hear it a lot more than I ever expected to. And I wonder if you think that's going to finally put enough pressure on the kinds of people that you're writing about in this piece to get over themselves and get out of the way.
I think it's going to, because I mean, most of us would agree that there is very little likelihood of the federal budget starting to grow in any significant way anytime in the next 5 to 10 years. So government is going to have to find a way to save. And this is one of the ideas whose time has finally come. And I think we will see more of this. I think we'll see more interest in consolidation of government. People on both sides of the aisle, while they're, you know, while they're screaming at one another, generally agree that there's overlap and duplication in government, and that we should find ways to get rid of that and do things better. So I think we'll see more of this, and I think we'll see more of it within the next, you know, 2, 3, or 4 years. It's going to have to happen, or we're just going to keep cutting the meat out of the federal government and cutting the missions. And I don't think that's good for the taxpayers or anybody else.
Excellent insight, as always. I'm always pleased to have you on the program to talk about what you're writing about, but I am very excited because you're going to be here tomorrow for the Federal News Countdown, and it's always terrific to have you on that program, on that part of the show, too.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We will count down your 3 most important federal news stories of the week tomorrow, starting at 4, and you can hear my conversation with Jeff Neal of ICF International, the host of the Chief HRO blog, and you can read what he's writing through a link we have at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.